One of the challenges that we have in teaching people the gospel is to get them to open their heart to receive it. And that's what I want us to consider this evening. Before we get into the lesson, I want to join in welcoming everyone. We have visiting with us Carol's sister from Indiana, so be sure to say hello to her after the service. And to repeat one thing that Brother Kent said, we need to have a short meeting with the men just right up here for a couple minutes after the evening service. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, and that's where we're going to take our text from. Acts chapter 16, and I'll begin at verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well known of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So notice the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Some people believe that this passage is talking about where God would work miraculously on someone to open their heart. But when you read at other places in the book of Acts and other places in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit did not operate on somebody to change their mind, to change their heart. We have free will. Instead, he worked on people's minds indirectly through his instrument. And what is that instrument that he uses to work on our hearts? It's the Word of God, the Word of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now when you go back in Acts to chapter 2 and verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Well, what was it that cut them to the heart? It was the sword of the Spirit. It was the Word of God. That was the instrument that was used. And that's exactly how the Lord opened Lydia's heart in this case. He used his word by the spokesman, Paul. And there are two ways that we can know that this is how the Lord used his word to open Lydia's mind. The first is from the context of the passage. Look again at verse 13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there." So here we have Paul speaking the word of God. In verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. So you have the person doing the speaking, and you have the person doing the listening. And what does it say happened? Verse 15, after hearing these words, Lydia took heed and obeyed them. She obeyed the words that she heard. So from this context, we can conclude, we can draw the conclusion that the Lord opened Lydia's mind through the word of God spoken by Paul. That's one way we can explain this. Another way is not just to look at the context of what we read, but to look at the context of the Bible. If we go back to Psalms, in Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And what is the law of the Lord? It's His word. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. How is this change? How is it brought about? It's brought about by the word. The word is the instrument that God uses to get His message into our heart. So from these verses, we can see that the Lord uses the sword of the Spirit, the word, to convert the soul, to make uneducated people wise. And I don't say that in a belittling way, but they are not educated to God. They have not understood what God has revealed to them. They haven't been taught this. This is consistent with what happened with Lydia that day. As she listened to God's word, her mind was made wise, it was enlightened, she received understanding, and she was converted. Again, something changed her. It wasn't something miraculous, but something changed her. So again, the belief that God opened Lydia's mind through the preaching of the word is consistent with the other text throughout the Bible, especially in Psalms, where we see what the word of God will do. In verse 15, she and her household responded. With these obedient souls, we see the establishment of the church in Philippi. And these Christians were a constant source of joy for Paul and for us still today. And again, as I've said before, you think about what difference does one person make if we can teach them the gospel? Look at Lydia. Lydia's heart was open. She received the word. Her household received it. You have the beginning of the church at Philippi, and we are still talking about them today and gaining so much comfort from the letter that Paul wrote to them. Well, so if the Lord opened her heart, that raises the question, why did her heart need opening? This implies that in some way her heart was closed. And I would suggest that everybody's heart is closed in some way. Well, was it because she was born in total depravity, where according to the Calvinist doctrine, either you're chosen or you're not chosen? Is that why her heart was opened? No, it wasn't because of that, because we know that doctrine is not consistent with the Word of God. Was it because she was some evil, wild woman living contrary to the will of God? Wasn't because of that, because we know that she was religious. On the Sabbath, she was worshiping with other people. So it was closed, and it was closed in the sense that we see so many people in the New Testament as we've been studying in Matthew, they had a misconception. People at that time had a misconception of who Christ was, who the Messiah was, what his kingdom was going to be like. They were expecting an earthly physical kingdom, not a heavenly kingdom. And Paul, through his teaching, opened her heart. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." Has it changed since then? No. A lot of people see God's word as a stumbling block or as foolishness. So it's our job to explain to people what God has revealed to us by opening his word and reading his word. So the condition of Lydia's heart had to be corrected, just like the masses of other Jews who misunderstood who Christ was. So again, back to this heart. What is this heart that is talked about as being opened? It's not this organ on the left side of our body that pumps blood. The heart that was opened was the center of her being, her mind, her heart, and we're going to take a look at that heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So we see there's something about our body and our heart that is different. Matthew 6:19-21, where he's talking about where we lay up treasures. In verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we see he's not talking about our physical heart. He's talking about this spiritual heart. So the Lord opened her heart. We need to understand some functions of the heart. There's more than just one. I've put these verses up here in case you want to write them down, to read through them through this week. But this is what we're going to look at as far as how this heart was open. So one of the things we need to consider with the heart, one of the functions of the heart is it thinks. Matthew 9:4, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts?" Where were they thinking? In their hearts. Another function of the heart is our heart reasons. In Mark 2:8, "But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart?" So our heart thinks, our heart reasons. Matthew 13:15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." We see another function, a third function of the heart, is it understands. It understands what God has revealed to us. Romans 10:9-10, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So here we see that the heart believes. That's what we believe with our heart. And again, speaking of the righteousness here, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." You go back in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So how do we know what the righteousness of God is? It's revealed in His Word. Now, we read in Romans 10 where we believe with our heart. But something else in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul starts off, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." So they were very zealous in wanting to obey God, but they didn't have the right knowledge, and they were not following after God. Then you drop down to verse 16. Well, when you look at 14, talking about how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed, and how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Here's the sad thing in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And we know when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he talked about when Christ returns, he said that Christ is going to return with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on two groups of people, on those who do not know Him and on those who do not obey the gospel. So that's why it's so important that we share the gospel with people so that they can obey it. Because we see people talk about the infinite love of God, and that is true. But also His justice is infinite. His justice is infinite. So we see the heart thinks, it reasons, it understands, it believes. These are intellectual processes. These are things that we think with. Well, in Romans 10, 1 that I just read, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So we see a fifth function of the heart. It desires. It desires. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." In Matthew 22, 37, we see that we love the Lord with our heart. Our heart loves. Another function, Proverbs 3, 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." So the heart trusts. Trust. These are all emotional processes. So our heart, there's an intellectual part and there's an emotional part. It doesn't stop there. There's a lot of functions of our heart. Acts 11:23. "When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." Where do we purpose? Where does that come from? That comes from our heart. The heart purposes. 1 Corinthians 7:37. "Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well." So we determine with our heart. We make a determination. This is process of will. There's intellectual, emotional, and will. Again, there's more functions that the heart does. It can be pricked or cut. Acts 2:37. "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" And the last function, got to clarify that, the last function, not the last point, but the last function of this, the heart condemns or approves. In 1 John 3, beginning at verse 19, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And you take that along with Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one's slaves, whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So we see that our heart will either condemn us or approve us. And this function is has to deal with our conscience. So back to how did the Lord open Lydia's heart? Well, as we saw in the text, it says she heard us. She heard us. That is, she listened to what was spoken to her. Her heart was opened following the hearing. Her heart was opened. And again, what was the instrument used to open her heart? It was the Word of God. And she gave heed to the things spoken by Paul. And that was the reason that the Lord opened her heart, so that she could obey them. Opening comes after hearing. And friends, again, that's our job. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He went back to heaven. He left the job for us to take over. How do we do that? There's no miraculous operation involved. It's through His Word. And 16, verse 15, when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. And see, after she was obedient, she still had this function of conscience. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, she wanted to be right with God. She wanted to have God's favor. She was a religious person, but her heart was such that she wanted it to be right her whole life with God. So the context of this too in Acts 16, when we look at this, was there anything miraculous about Paul coming in contact with Lydia? Going down to the riverside, nothing miraculous about that at all. But what can we learn about this? We can learn that when someone wants to know the truth, they have a heart, they want to know the truth, God is going to bring them in contact with somebody that can share the truth with them. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He did that back then. Does He do that today? Absolutely. Absolutely, He does it. But then Satan comes in. He steps in. And so we look at this list. With the heart, we think, we reason, we understand, we believe, we desire, we love, we trust, we purpose, we determine. We're cut to the heart. Our heart condemns or approves us. Think about this. I've got some keys here, and if I gave these keys to somebody out on the street, and I said, "I've got $1,000 laying on the desk back in the office. If you can take one of these keys and open that door, the money's yours." Do you think people would try? Absolutely. I've got several keys on there. What if they tried the first time and it didn't work? Do you think they'd try again? Absolutely. What if it was $10,000? I said, "There's $10,000 cash back there. It's yours. All you have to do is go back and open the door and you can have it." They aren't going to give up. They're going to try one key. If that doesn't work, they're going to try another key. They're going to keep trying till they find the right key. So what's the lesson for us? Sometimes we talk to people, we try to share the gospel with them, we use the first key that we have and it doesn't work. And what do? Oh, they aren't interested. I'm going to give up. Is that what God wants us to do? You stop and think about $10,000 laying on the desk back there. And you stop and think about the precious soul of any individual that you come across. And how much is that soul worth? That soul is worth more than the whole world. And so many times we give up too soon because we'll try one key and that key didn't work. Maybe we try to reason with them. Maybe we appeal through love. We talk about the love of God or different things, the desires. And there is a key that will open their heart. Is it miraculous? No. It's all in the Word of God. And again, that's why it is so important that we learn the Word of God. We know it inside and out in God's plan for us, how He desires to have a covenant relationship with us. He calls Himself our husband. We are the bride of Christ. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to have an affair with the world. He wants us to be wholly devoted to Him. And everybody needs to know that. They need to know that and need to understand that. And then, like this morning when we talked about confidence in just living a Christian life and talking to other people about what they need to do. And you remember when Christ was talking to Peter, it was after he was resurrected, and they had the meal there at the Sea of Galilee, that breakfast where they caught some fish, and then he told Peter to feed his sheep. And what's the question that he asked Peter before he told him to feed his sheep? What was that question? He said, "Peter, are you a good speaker? Are you a good speaker?" He said, "Peter, do you have a lot of energy and you can entertain people and use good gestures?" Did he say, "Peter, did you go to a big name school? You know, people are going to listen to you more if you went to a big name school." Did he ask him any of those questions? What did he ask Peter? "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep." The sheep need to be fed. Everybody needs the gospel because everybody's lost. That's common with all of us. We have all sinned and we stand condemned to hell before God unless we can receive His blood and be redeemed and be bought out of sin and out of bondage. So when we think about talking with someone about any subject, always remember what's going to change them is their heart. That's how they're going to receive the word. And there are different ways to get into somebody's heart. There's not just one way. There are many ways. And if we don't get in the first time, we need to keep trying and keep trying. And God's word will do the job that it is intended to do. Friends, is there anybody here this evening who's outside of Christ? And if you are, you know, what do you have to look forward to in life? If you're separated from God, you know the condition that you're in. Or if somebody here is in Christ and they have sin in your life, why do you continue in sin? No, we are going to stand before God one day and give an account of everything that we have done. If there's something that you're struggling with, you know everybody here is willing. You make it known, you confess your sins, and everybody here is willing to help you to overcome that. We all want to help each other make it to heaven. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.